Harley? Okay, now I am. All right. How are you guys doing? I confess to you, this is early morning for me on Sundays. As you know, we have our Sabbath services, we had hours yesterday, and today usually will be a time where I relax at home and spend a little time in bed. this is a long time in the making, really, for me to come and be here with you. We've had Pastor Joe already come and speak a while back, and we had a great time. We always love it when he comes and spends some time with us at Sukkot. And you're all welcome. We're here Saturdays, very early and late. So our services go pretty much half of the day, I would say, from around 10:30 to around, we're not out of here until like 4:35. So the good thing is that we feed you lunch, though. That's good. You know, I usually tell Sukkot that if ever you are in a pickle and you don't have time, you know, to come to the full service, of course, ours is more relevant because it's a lot longer, and you have to choose between coming to worship or coming to the preaching, the teaching, hands down, please come to the worship. Now, I know that's a little backwards for a pastor to say that, or a rabbi, right? A man of the word. Now, we all want people to come and hear us. Hopefully, they'll hear the Holy Spirit, right? But the truth is that in my own experience, I am first a worshiper. And I'd rather spend time, the Holy Spirit pouring into me, getting out of me what shouldn't be there, what I'm struggling with, pouring his word, speaking a word to me that is a word in season for me, for what I'm going through at the moment, rather than sometimes just probably being fed in my mind, my intellect, and I know it's good, of course, it's the word, but I would rather choose worship. And today, it was phenomenal. I feel like this is, I feel home, not only because this is our home, and you've allowed us to make this our home, so I feel home here in the physical, but in the spiritual, being in the presence of God, that's what Sukkot is all about, and that's what we experience, that's what you guys are all about as well. So this morning was just really sweet and special. I want to thank whoever created this study guide. This is phenomenal. You know, I'm first a teacher rather than a preacher, so having notes, I love that. And I furnished them, all my notes, which I write my entire sermon. I don't read it, though. I hate speakers that just read and don't look at you, you know. But I do write it for my own exercise to go through it and make sure that I know how to start it, I know how to end it, and I know how to transition from one point to the next. But I'm first a teacher, so to have this is fantastic. I want to hire whoever you are. I'm not sure I can pay you, but I want to hire you. then I was also reading your bulletin. Of course, I've been here several times. I don't think I've ever took the time to actually read what's in the front. I don't know if you have, but I'm going to talk about this today, actually. It says that Crossroads Arlington, really the purpose, right? Is this the mission statement or something like that? To follow Christ, pursue spiritual growth together in community. And I'm going to talk about this today. How to pursue spiritual growth together in community. So this is very appropriate. Pastor Joe and I, of course, we talked about when to come, and you're in the middle of this series in the book of Ephesians, and he said you don't have to feel like you have to talk about Ephesians. And the more I thought about, okay, Lord, what do you want to give me to give to your people, I just couldn't think of anything else other than Ephesians. And I had no idea what chapter you were in. I was here, 2 weeks ago, or 2, 3 weeks ago? We were in chapter 2. normally I go at a much slower pace. You probably noticed it today. When Tanya asked me, you know, tell me the scripture you're going to talk about today. And I gave her, I think it was two verses. I expanded it a little bit for the sake of context. But really, I'm speaking about one verse. So, I go a little slower. So, I have no idea you were in Ephesians 4, as I looked at the study guide for last week. But I want to talk about Ephesians 4. This is the message that I just couldn't get away from. And I knew this is what the Lord had for me to speak to you today. And I love this message. I only preached it once. I preached it at a congregation in Israel about a half a year ago. Oh, no, about a year and a half ago. And so this is something I haven't even taught at Sukkot. And so we're going to be in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. The scripture is going to be on your screen. So if you want to follow along with me. And while you make your way there, let's talk a little bit about the church, the congregation in Ephesus, and the epistle that Paul wrote to them. This is a fantastic church, actually. You know, started by Paul, John the Apostle, ministered there later on towards the end of his life. Timothy probably ministered there. So, I mean, they have some cool pastors there. It was a very healthy congregation. The epistle that we have to the Ephesians is actually a circular epistle. So it was one that was supposed to be shared, and some of the original manuscripts, the early manuscripts that we have extant, don't actually have the word Ephesus at the beginning. Because this was probably copied and left blank to be shared with several congregations in the area. And because of that, some people say that the reason why we don't see any rebuke or any correction in the book of Ephesians is because it wasn't like super personal. It was to be shared. So, you know, Paul wasn't going to go into details to embarrass anyone, but the funny thing is that the letter to the Galatians is also a circular letter, because Galatia was actually a region; it wasn't a city. So this was a problem that was going on. The problems that we see in Galatians being addressed there, it was a problem going on in the region. So this was perhaps a circular letter as well, as opposed to Corinthians. You know, it's a singular letter to the city, the church in a city. This was more of a region. And so probably the reason why we don't see rebuke in the book of Ephesians is not because it was a circular letter, but probably because this was just a great congregation, just a great church. It's kind of like, you know, when you ask yourself, well, what do I give this person for their birthday? They have everything. I used to work for a guy who was a great gift giver. I mean, he'd come up with these gifts, and I'm like, wow, that was just so awesome. And it wasn't like it was super expensive. And I wanted to become a person like that, you know, somebody who knows how to give good gifts to people. And I always end up just giving picture frames. I just can't escape being a guy. So I rely on my wife on that. But what do you talk about to a congregation like the church in Ephesus? What do they need? Well, I think we see in chapter 4, where we're going to be today, that they needed to grow. They needed to grow. And we're going to see some details there about the need for spiritual growth for us today. So let's be in Ephesians 4, beginning chapter in verse 14, and we're going to read through verse 16. So I expanded this from one verse to two, and now I make it all the way to three verses. So I'm really stretching it here. So Ephesians 4:14, it says, "As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness in deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up." So the gist here is we are no longer to be children, but we are to grow up. We are to grow up. Grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. Then verse 16, from whom, now he's going to talk about Messiah, about Jesus, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body. So again, the gist here is, from whom the whole body causes the growth of the body. The body grows the body. And we have a confirmation of that. At the end of the verse, it says, for the building up of itself in love. So the body builds itself up. The body grows the body. And we're going to expand into verse 16, into the details of what that says and how it is that the body grows the body. I do have a title for us today, though, based on what we see here, especially in verse 15. Because we, as a congregation, as a church, we want to grow in numbers. It's exciting to see this place full, right? To see lots of children, lots of youth, and lots of ministries. This is the intention. Healthy things grow numerically, not the other way around, right? We don't pursue numbers at the expense of health, but healthy things are going to grow. It's just the natural thing to do. But what Paul is talking about here is that in order for a congregation to grow in numbers, we first have to grow individually. And the way he puts it is we have to grow up. Grow up. So the title of my message today is, can we grow without growing up? Can we grow? Can we really grow without growing up? The answer is going to be no. The gist of it is, how do we then grow up? How do we grow up? That's what he's talking about here, especially in verse 16. So Paul is going to go into a detailed metaphor using the physical body to explain the spiritual body. So using how the physical body grows to explain how the spiritual body grows. And that's what we're going to see. So first we're going to talk about the growth of the physical body. How does the physical body grow? So Ephesians 4:16 really is a lesson in physiology. A lesson in physiology. My wife is in the medical field, and she studied, radiography, I think it is, yes. And so she can tell you the names of all these little bones on the hand and all that stuff, and I'm like, more power to you. And Paul gets a little nerdy on us a little bit. You know, I think probably hanging out with Luke, you know, who was a doctor, probably that roughs off a little bit. Maybe he's read some of his medical books or something. I don't know. But he got something out of this. So in verse 16, we see that he says, that he writes, from whom the whole body, you know, from Messiah, the whole body fitted, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the power working to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So the body being fitted and held together. The body is fitted, first of all, it's fitted together. This is speaking of the body parts, the members of the body. So we have forearm, arm, shoulder, and we see all kinds of joints. There's a joint, the hand joining to the arm, to the forearm. There's a joint here, a joint on the shoulder, even a joint here, a hip joint, right? I think this is something you guys have been through here with Joe, right? We have joints all over the physical body. That's how the body is held together, through the joints. We have an example of this in Ephesians 2. Different metaphor, same point. Ephesians 2:21, Paul says, in whom, again, Messiah, Jesus, in whom the whole body, the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. So now he's speaking of brick and mortar, a physical building, but he uses the same ideas that these are pieces coming together and fitted together. This is the same Greek word used here, that the pieces are fitted together. So in the case of the body, they're fitted together by the joints. Furthermore, they are held together. They are fitted and they're held together. So how are they held together? Well, this gets a little, this is the main point of Paul here. So he's going to elaborate on this. Back to verse 16 in Ephesians 4, it says, being fitted and held together by what? By what every joint supplies. The joints supply something that holds the parts together. And he says that it is according to the proper working of each individual part. What does that mean exactly? The phrase according to, it's one Greek word that means coming down from, or it originates with. So the origin, the point from which this holding together comes from, is what he's going to say here, the proper working. So it comes from the proper working of each part. That's the origin of the ability for the body to be held together. Now, the proper working, the word proper here is another Greek word. We get the word metric. It's the word metron, and we get the word metric, which actually means a measure. So it comes down from a measure, and the word working, it's translated the proper working, but the word working is the word energeia. We get the word energy, power. So when we put it all together, we have that the body is held together by the measure of energy that every part supplies. The measure of energy. Your minds are probably already going into the spiritual part of this, right? Because we read, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, we read that even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. So he's speaking about now the spiritual body. It's composed of many members. And these members are, again, they are fitted and held together. They're fitted at the joints, and they are held together together. by the measure of energy, of power, that each part has. In verse 18, same 1 Corinthians 12:18, he says, "But now God has placed the members, each of them, each one of them, in the body, just as he desired." So it is his will that you be an ear, and you be an eye, and you be a worship musician, and you be a children's teacher. And maybe you are the greatest coffee maker. I mean, come on. What a ministry. Right? Can we really do this without the person who makes the coffee? I don't think so. So we cannot underestimate, right, the contribution, the power that each one supplies, the energy, right, that each one supplies. So when we then think about the physical aspect, the spiritual aspect of it, based on the physical, when we think about the spiritual, then we understand that you and I, all the members of the body, we are fitted by the joint. That places the focus on unity. See, that's why when I read the statement here, it really resonated with me. Pursue spiritual growth together in community. We can't do this alone. The body grows the body. It is when we are fitted together, when we come together. So let's say when we lock arms together, right? That right there is a joint. That is a joint. I have a measure of energy. Let's say let's put Pastor Joe here, right? Right about. Good thing we're not getting this on video, right? So when we come together, we lock arms, the unity. So the energy, the measure of energy that the Spirit of the Lord has given me and that has given to him, we lock arms, and this is how the body grows. In that union, that unity. The illustration there in Corinthians is very instructive, because the passage is all about the spiritual gifts, right? It is when we function in the gifts that the Lord has given each of us that is developed and grow and exercised in unity, complementing each other. There's tremendous power. That is for the edification, the exhortation, and the growth of the body. So this unity is extremely important. It's extremely important. It is then no wonder that the first thing that Paul addresses when he speaks to the Corinthians is what? Unity. He wants to get to chapter 12, 13, and 14. But he has to start with chapter 1, 2, and 3. He needs to tell them, you guys think that, oh, I'm from Paul, and I am from Peter, and I am from Apollos, and guess what? You're fragmented. The locking of arms is in grave danger. Your joints are suffering. And the power that is supposed to be transmitted for the growth of the body is seriously, seriously threatened. So the beginning of it is to focus on unity, to heal the unity, to heal the joint. Now, I want to show you the best way that Scripture and the Apostle and the Holy Spirit has given to us to strengthen this bond, this joint. In Ephesians 4:1, we read, "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." We don't create the unity, but we are to be diligent to preserve the unity. And how do we do this? In the bond of shalom. In the bond of shalom. What is shalom? You see, you have peace in spite of your circumstances when you understand that you are complete in Christ. When the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. I have peace because in our circumstances, in one area or another, it really looks like I do lack a lot. Maybe it's your bank account. Maybe it's your retirement account. Maybe it's your family relationships. But the Lord says, you lack nothing. From my perspective, you have everything that you need today. And, you know, we worry about, are we going to have what I need tomorrow and next year and 10 years down the road? And he's like, don't even. I give you manna every day. You have what you need. So when we understand that we are complete and we lack nothing in him, guess what? We have peace. We don't become unglued when we encounter difficulties. The difficulties are there to show us our need for unity, for us to grow up. So the bond of peace. I have to, you know, this is how marriage works, is when two whole individuals come together. It's so much fun. When I know my wife has the ability to have her own relationship with the Lord, come to him, have her problems solved by him, and we come together and we just enjoy the benefits of two strong people loving each other, walking together this life. And that's how it's supposed to be in all relationships. That we come together, each one a strong person that understand that they are complete in him. If you are single and you want to be married, this is the best thing you can do for yourself and for the person that you hope to be married to. Just be a whole person in the Lord, someone that is complete. So shalom actually means completeness. That's what it actually means. To have a sense that I am complete in him. And then you can have peace, no matter what the circumstances are. So this unity is kept, is preserved in the bond of peace. What is this bond word then? Colossians 2:19. It's actually a parallel passage. It talks about pretty much the same thing here. And it says in verse 19, and speaking of people who are not holding fast to the head. They're not holding fast to the head, to Yeshua, to Jesus, from him, the entire body being supplied and held together, that's the same word, held together by the joints, and then he adds here, and the ligaments. In Ephesians, he doesn't mention the ligaments. In Colossians, he does. So being supplied and held together by the joints and the ligaments, grows with a growth which is from God. Okay, what about this ligament? You know, what's the function of this here? Well, here's what's beautiful about this. That the word ligament in Colossians 2 is the same word translated bond in Ephesians 4. So it is the ligament of shalom. Now, when you think of the joints, you know, you think of your knees, you have bone coming, bone fitting, being fitted together, but you're going to have ligament coming around. Think of like a rubber band that comes around and winds it up and tightens it, and it protects it, it makes it strong. That's what we need when we lock arms and we walk in unity. We need the ligament, which is the bond of shalom. This is how this unity is protected. This coming together, this fitting together with the people that you are in ministry with, the people that you serve with, the team that you serve with here. Even at work, even if you say, well, I don't work with believers, it's okay. I'm sure your company would appreciate if you get along and have good relationship and keep the peace with those that you work with. Even if you just drive an Uber and it's just you, right? You're not gonna get somebody in the back of your seat and be all grumpy, and you know they're gonna write you a bad report, a bad review. We can take this home. This strengthening of our relationships in the ligament, in the bond of completeness, we can use this at home. We can use this with teenage sons and daughters. I don't know if any of you have teenagers. I have four. You can use this at work, as we just mentioned. You can use this here at the church. We need to strengthen this bond of shalom. It is for us to preserve what the Spirit has already provided. The way we do that is by growing up individually. So there is our personal responsibility in the body. Our number one responsibility is to grow up. I need to grow me so that I can grow us. It's the same in marriage, same at work. It's a relationship thing. And this is how the body is supposed to grow, function, operate, and bring about the growth of itself. Is that helpful? Let's pray. I want to pray for you, because I know you are going to have a quiz on this. You know that, right? You're going to show up for work tomorrow, and there's going to be, oh, there's that person. Or you're going to show up for your ministry this week here at the church, and this good old reliable person that you've never had a problem with, all of a sudden, you know, it's like, what happened to you? Well, what's going to happen to me? That's the real question. How am I going to handle this? Right? Love covers a multitude of sin, multitude of faults. Let me put it in today's terms, a multitude of offenses. this bond of peace, I need to strengthen it so that the things that could potentially cause an offense is covered. And it does not deter the growth of the body. Father, thank you. Thank you for your presence here with us today. Thank you for your word. The exposition of your word gives us clarity and it gives us wisdom. So I pray, Father, you will strengthen Crossroads relationally. Cause this body to be healthy, to thrive, to be strengthened in the unity of the Spirit, in the bond of shalom. That every member here grows up individually, understanding how complete we are in you, so that we can offer hope to this community and this body grow to its potential. We thank you in Jesus' name.